unification. So you cannot say that you are not opposing unification. You should say you are embracing unification. That is the official stance of CCP. Okay? You should only embrace unification. You cannot just not opposing or something like some other stance. So the only one can be viewed as unification is this. So any other options are all Taidu, are all independents. This is from PRC's point of view. So among these figures here, we can see that there's a generational difference. So under age of 30, people are significantly more support on this stance, about half, about 48% here, and significantly lower in this part and this part. So people under 30, and people who are above 40 to 60 are concentrated in this part. So we can say that they are quite flexible. So they do not want to specify or choose a specific option for the people under 60. So let's talk a little bit about from this spectrum. So as I said, Tongdu is always the most salient issue in national election, but this time it is a little bit different. And first of all, in 2016, there's the first time ever there's a party turnover in both executive one and also the legislature. For DPP. So Tsai Ing-wen is here. So if you look at the party platform of DPP, there's a clause that is called Taidu Dang Gang, the Taiwan, the independence clause here of DPP is, actually they say that Taiwan is already an independent country, but their current name is Republic of China. And then if in the future there, if there's some change, it should be passed. It should be voted by all of the Taiwanese people. That is called Taidu Dang Gang. But it's actually quite modest here. They do not specify that they want to change or they want to declare independence immediately or something. So that's the stance here. So if you put in here, I would say that Tsai Ing-wen is a modest one in here. However, she faces several challenges. Under the green, in the green camp here, there's a Formosa alliance, also some small parties like Taiwan Radical Wings. They think that we should do more to promote Taiwan independence. So this part, they give a lot of pressures on Tsai Ing-wen. So finally, they initiated the referendum number 13. The referendum number 13 is whether you agree with that we should apply for the change of name for the national sports team from Chinese Taipei to Taiwan. That is, they want to apply for the change to International Olympics Committee. So this is the deep green part, challenging that Tsai is too modest. But also in this part, they criticize Tsai Ing-wen a lot. Needless to say, because Tsai Ing-wen first of all, she does not recognize the so-called 1992 consensus, which is that the core of the 1992 consensus is about one China, one China principle, saying that there's only one China and Taiwan belongs to this China. But in the past, KMT's stance is that yes, the China is Republic of China, so there's no problem of this argument that there's only one China and Taiwan belongs to China, because China is, in their view, is Republic of China. But Taiwan does not recognize that. And she says that there's no 1992 consensus, there's only historical fact that the two sides meet with each other. So after that, this is the very first day of the inauguration. After that, Beijing is quite angry and then punished DPP a lot by cutting off the tourists coming to Taiwan, and also Beijing cut off every official contacts with Taiwan. So she faces challenges from both sides and also from Beijing. The more interesting thing is that in these local elections, there are new or multiple new issue dimensions here. Because in the past, everything will go back to Tongdu. So for example, because if we date it back to the authoritarian era, so the every liberal groups like environmentalists or the human rights activists or labor rights activists, most of them make coalition with DPP, because it's a process of beating the authoritarian regime. So most of the liberal groups are unifying with DPP. And then this time there are several referendums. So one of them is a setback from the conservative groups of anti-LGBTQ group. They have three referendums. They want to, because in last year the Constitutional Court ruled that the Taiwan should legalize gay marriage in 2 years before next May. And then there's a big setback from the conservative group. And then they make coalition with this side. And the blue-green cleavage is fading. It's somehow fading because some core supporters of DPP also oppose legalizing gay marriage. So there's other issue dimensions appears, and then so making this Tongdu issue not very salient in these elections, and there are some regroup or coalitions are underway.
Do you see that as a temporary thing, or just for the election, or is this in the long haul?
I don't know. Yeah, because the referendum is very relatively new, because this is the first time that we lowered the thresholds for passing and initiating the referendum. So there are 10. So in the past, the referendum act is called a cage referendum, because it's very difficult to initiate and very difficult to pass. But this year, I think that last year we lowered the threshold, and then there are 10 referendums. So it's a new tool of mobilizing. So it's a brand new tool for many different groups, especially for conservative groups. Yeah. So and I think the impacts of the mobilizing is still we should still observe that. There's no conclusion among the social scientists right now. Let's talk a little bit more about the status quo. Why there are so many people choosing status quo and not making a clear choice right now? Because I think from the academic point of view, that I mean, if we jump out of the context, that status quo is just not the best option for everyone, but it's just a equilibrium. So Let's go to next one. This is a national flag of Taiwan, and in the international events, we can only use Chinese Taipei to compete in the sports events. And in 1981 in Switzerland, there's a compromise agreement between International Olympic Committee and Taiwan, I mean Republic of China at that time, to that we after 1981 we use this name. So it's a compromise between China, Taiwan, and the international committees on the sports. So the number 13 referendum is that, do you agree that we apply to use the name Taiwan to compete in international events? So the anti-camp says that, okay, if we apply, then we will lose everything. So if we apply to change the name, then China will be very angry, and then we will be kicked out of the International Olympic Committee, and then we can no longer play anymore. So that's the anti-camp say. And even under this pressure, so 45% of people vote yes in this referendum, and to ask for apply for the name from Chinese Taipei to Taiwan. So 45%, you can see that this is maybe the stronghold of the Green Camp, okay, or the stronghold of the pro-independence camp. You can interpret like in this way. So this is a compromise. Many people do not like this compromise, but many people still think that, okay, if we don't want to anger China, then maybe it is acceptable. Some people think that. So that is one of the reasons why so many people choose status quo. And after the election, many KMT mayor or magistrate elects promote the term 1992 consensus. So in the very first day, I mean in the night of the election night, the Kaohsiung mayor-elect Han Kuo-yu said that he will embrace 1992 consensus and have a cross-strait team to promote cross-strait relations. Is that a return of 1992 consensus, especially after Taiwan reject to recognize the term? So, and also in the public opinion surveys, it is consistently, over 50% of people say that they agree that we use the 1992 consensus. So this is also one of the questions we asked in our survey. We asked people to what is the definition of 1992 consensus in their mind, and we put four options. So the first one is ROC and PRC complete legitimate China, the whole legitimate China. It's more like the stance before 2000. And the second one is more close to the stance of the Ma Ying-jeou administration. That is that 1992 consensus means that we have different interpretations, and then the two sides will become unification in the future. The third one we put this one: two sides are two different countries, which is totally wrong for the 1992 consensus. The fourth one is the stance of China, that both Taiwan and China belongs to Republic of China. And then it is very interesting that we find these results. So 70% of people choose the official stance of ROC before 2000. And about one third choose the right answer for Ma Ying-jeou administration. One third says that we are two different countries, which is totally wrong for the 1992 consensus. And about 5% choose the PRC stance, which is similar to the percentage of people who choose unification as soon as possible. So it's not surprising here. But that explains why so many people accept or support 1992 consensus, because they have wrong interpretations. Okay? My point is that Taiwanese people do not accept China's One China principle. So the One China principle says that Taiwan belongs to China, and this China is PRC. No matter if this China is PRC or ROC, but Taiwanese people do not like this One China principle here. We have an article in on the Diplomat about this result. So that's why the status quo is so popular, because the interpretation is very flexible among people, and there's no in a democratic country, then we cannot force people to think that, okay, you should accept this, or you should interpret our the government's policy in a certain way. So that's why that's what happened. That's why people seem to accept the 1992 consensus, and people are highly flexible on the so-called cross-strait relations policies or China policies. So is this a vote? I mean, the election, I should present because of the somehow surprising result of the election, I just reorganized my talk here. So this should be green. This should be green. And in 2014, the DPP won 15 out of 22, plus Cohen's here endorsed by DPP. And this black is also should be blue, but it is a Hualien magistrate Fu Kunqi. He belongs to KMT but run as an independent, so this should be blue. And this this time is a reversal back to the political landscape before 2014. So many people, especially the international media, says that it is a setback for Chai Ing-wen's cross-strait relations policies pro-China turn for Taiwan. I argue that it's not a pro-China turn of Taiwan, because that first it is a local election, and people do not really care or discuss about the cross-strait relations. And then the second interesting thing is that during the campaign, every KMT candidate avoid to talk about the cross-strait relations. They avoid to use the term 1992 consensus. Even after the elections, in the night of the election and the very first day after the election, many KMT newly elected magistrate or mayors say that they will embrace 1992 consensus, and they will establish the cross-strait working groups to establish ties with China. But these issues are not even mentioned during the campaign. And also, even if we accept the 1992 consensus, that as I showed, that people have very flexible interpretation of that. So I would argue that this is not a pro-China term. If we look at the context of the local election, before this election is also very important for some important figures like Taipei Mayor Ke Wen-je, also the New Power Party. They established after the Sunflower Movement. They got some seats here. How can we put Ke Wen-je and the New Power Party in this spectrum? So this is what Ke Wen-je's position changed. In 2014, he was endorsed by DPP, and he said that he is dark green. Dark green means dark green, literally here. So he said that I'm dark green, so endorse me. But he's very he's a surgeon in National Taiwan University Hospital, and highly respected surgeon. So totally outsider for the politics, very similar to President Trump, I think. And his style is also very highly populist. I mean, populist is not a negative word, but populist means that people do not trust the political elites, and people want a new or outsider to make some change. Okay, here. But during his term, the first term in Taipei mayor, because in Taipei, I mean, previously, the majority of people belongs to the blue camp. So he started to move toward this side. And an example is that he said that this term, 两岸一家亲, that is the two sides of cross strait belongs to one family. That is the term first articulated by Xi Jinping. So when Ke Wen-je said 两岸一家亲, then there's a lot of criticism that is leaning toward the blue and leaning toward the unification camp from the camp that endorsed him in 2014. And during his term, he also cooperated with many pen blue politicians, as well as Han Kuo-yu, who just won the Kaohsiung election. So he had a lot of he received a lot of criticism here. This time he won by about 3,000 votes, that is 0.2%. In 2014, he won by about 58 or 57% in 2014. This is another example why the Tongdu issue is not very salient in this election. So 1 week before the election, in the Golden Horse Award, that is a Chinese language of Oscar. So the best documentary film filmmaker Fu Yu said that during the acceptance speech, she said that she wants Taiwan to be recognized as an independent entity, and this is my biggest wish as a Taiwanese. And then after that, all of the Chinese directors, Chinese filmmakers, after her speech, said in the stage that China and Taiwan should be one China or something like that. So Taiwan should be part of China, 中国台湾, something like that. And then after this, all of the filmmakers left Taiwan immediately in the next day. So the controversy quickly spread online. So almost every filmmaker, singer, and entertainment sectors people all expressed their support for China's stance on their Weibo, their blog. But after that, it does not affect the result of the election. And how about New Power Party, 时代力量? The image of New Power Party is quite toward this side, because of Huang Guochang, the leader of the many anti-China activism, also the leader, one of the leaders of the Sanfa movement. Also, there's a Freddie Lim, Lin Changzuo, the dead metalist who made into the Congress. They are highly pro-independent. However, according to my study, also I confirmed it with other studies like Taiwan's National Security Study conducted by Dr. Liu Mingzi in Duke. The median voter of New Power Party is not as pro-radical side as we think. So the median voter is more moderate than DPP. So in terms of their Tongdu preferences, and also in terms of their Taiwanese identity preferences, the median voter is like here, and DPP is the median voter is about here something. So the median voter of New Power Party is more moderate than we think. That caused a lot of trouble for them because, as Cohen, the most popular politician in Taiwan, moves from here to here. And